Pastor Ben is up here, is we're going to have a little competition here. And for you young people, I want to say this. Before there was Xbox, there was Nintendo 64. And before there was Nintendo 64, there was Sony PlayStation. And before PlayStation, there was Sega. But before Sega, there was Atari. Yeah. With great games like Asteroids, Space Invaders, and Pong. Yes. And so, we already know Pastor Ben is the greatest children's pastor in all the world. But the real question is, can he play Pong? All right, so we got a little competition. We're going to do a little competition here. He's been practicing, actually, all week, getting ready for this. And so now this thing doesn't keep score correctly. It only goes up to one for some reason. And so we're going to need you to help us keep score and cheer us on here, okay? So I'm on the left, and Pastor Ben is ready to go. Let's see. Yeah, thank you. I am not good at video games, for sure. And so I need your support. Okay, here we go. There we go. Boom. Come on, man. I didn't even have to try.
It's not regulation.
Yeah, it is not. It's true. It's a little slow. Okay. Here we go again. Oh, hello. Oh. Okay, what is it? 1-1? Okay. All right, here we go. Where's my paddle? My paddle! There we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, I lucked out there. Boy, that took skill. Okay. 2-1. Two to one. Do we have anything on the line here? Like, you have to wear a Washington Husky hat all week. Nice move. I got to give it up. 2-2?
2-2.
Oh, boy. Sudden death. You rigged this. Anyway, good job, Pastor Ben. What was the point of that? Here's the point. If you would have told me when I was 10 years old, some of you will find this hard to believe. If you would have told me when I was 10 years old, 1970, that I would be able to play video games on my television at home, I would have thought you'd lost your mind. Because we had never heard of such a thing. And I'll never forget the day my dad brought an Atari game home and set it up in our living room, and we could play Pong on our home television set. I thought we were living in the era of Star Trek, man. I thought this is unbelievable. And I was so excited, man. I played that thing. I played it hour after hour, even though you couldn't tell just now. I played hour after hour this thing because it was so amazing. It was. How many of you like me can remember that when it was brand new? So, how many of you can remember the day that you had to get up and turn a knob to change the channel on your TV? Okay, all right. How many of you can remember when there were no television sets? Anybody here? Okay. How about no electricity? Anybody? Okay. Okay. Yeah. And now we have gone from that to this, the iPhone. This thing is amazing. I can rule the world from right here on my iPhone. These things are incredible. I remember the computer room at my high school. It was downstairs, kind of in the basement. Downstairs in the basement, there was a computer room, and the computers were so big, they would take up the entire wall of the computer room. That's how big they had to be. And they couldn't do anything. All they could do was make like a banner for the prom. That's the only thing the computer could do. I mean, you'd go down there, you'd say, I need a banner that says we are the champions, you know, and you'd write it out. And it'd take them a week to program just to make a banner that said we are the champions. You know, and now the amount of memory that I have right here, someone's calling me. I knew someone would do that. Who's doing it? The amount of memory right here in my little phone. I mean, when I was in high school, that would have taken up, it would have taken computers that filled up the entire school to have the amount of memory that I've got right here in my phone. And I mean, it's just amazing. Right here, I can look up the weather, not just the local weather. I can look up the weather anywhere in the world. I'm just looking at my home screen. I've got my to-do list on there. It reminds me things I need to get done. I've got a Bible study on there that does all kinds of word searches and Bible studies for me. I've got a place to take notes. I've got a Starbucks app, so I can buy anything at Starbucks that I want to buy right here with my phone. In fact, I can order it ahead of time with my iPhone. Podcasts, I can listen to the best preachers in the entire world right here. Twitter, I mean, I can send my brilliant ideas to my 250 Twitter followers right there. Yes, I'm trending. And, pictures of my grandkids. There's Elias, my grandson. And I can call people too. All of this, my mail, my email's on here. All of these incredible things. And if you would have told me when I was 20 years old, if you would have told me about the iPhone when I was 20 years old, I would have said, no way. There is absolutely no, what you're describing to me is absolutely impossible, and it will never happen in my lifetime. I mean, you're going to tell me that I can watch my grandkids, I can talk to them and look at them in the phone and see them via video and have a conversation with them. I would have said absolutely no way that could ever happen. So here's the deal. That got me thinking. What's it going to be like in another 10 years? What's it going to be like in 20 years? I mean, when my grandkids are 57, what kind of technology is going to be available to them down the road? Things that we can't even imagine right now, right? Our minds can't even compute. We can't even imagine what is going to be developed in the future. So that got me thinking. That got me thinking spiritually. I got to thinking, what if God has some things that he plans on doing in your life, in my life, that we can't even begin to imagine? Right? What if God has some things in mind for us in the future that just right now, if you told us that, we would say, no way. That could never happen. What if God has some things for us that are just absolutely going to blow our minds? Right? What if? And then that got me thinking about a couple of scriptures, because that's exactly what the Bible says God is going to do. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, where it says this: what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. This is an amazing verse. God is saying, you've never seen it yet, you've never heard of it yet, your mind can't even imagine it yet, but I'm going to do it. What you can't even believe right now, what you're not even thinking of right now, God is saying, I'm going to do it. You see, one of the biggest obstacles that we face, one of the biggest weapons of the devil is that the devil is always trying to convince us that things are never going to change. The devil's always just whispering things like, you're always going to be this way. Things are never going to change. You're always going to deal with this. You'll never get over this. This is how it was for your grandfather and your father, and it's going to be how it is for you. And when we buy, and let me remind you today, the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, and God is truth. Amen? The devil always lies and God never lies. But if the devil can convince you in your mind that things can't change, things are never going to change, then despair sets in. Hopelessness sets in. Our faith is diminished. It's crushed. And when you're convinced that things can't change, then you won't try. Or if you do try, you won't try very hard. And as soon as any kind of opposition comes up, you'll give up real easy. Because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, see, I knew things would never change. Anybody ever been there? You've thought, well, this is going to change in my life. And you started and you got off to a good start, but then you had a failure, a slip up, you tripped, you messed up. And then you thought, yep, that's what I figured. And it's just a lie from the enemy. And I want you to know, when God says he can do something, he can do it. And there's nothing that's impossible for God. Amen? Nothing is. What if Steve Jobs or Bill Gates would have said, you know, computers, they're just always going to be 6 foot tall and 10 feet wide. It's just the way it is. It's the way it's always going to be. We wouldn't have, you know, these cool gadgets like we have right now. Some of you might say, well, yeah, thank the Lord. Maybe we wouldn't. But for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing this series called Unshackled. And we're going to be talking about things that hold us back, like unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a real common one. Not being able to get past hurts, bitterness, habitual sin. You know, sins that they just seem to be so much a part of our past. We have a hard time moving past those things. Maybe it's something as simple as gossip, and you just find you're the kind of person, you just find yourself, it just, you fall into it. You just fall into gossip, and you're just like, man, I need that to change in my life, but it seems like it never will. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about breaking those chains, letting God break those chains in our lives. But we got to start right here. We got to let faith rise up in our hearts, and we got to start knowing that it's possible. It's possible with God to change. Amen? We got to start right before we start getting specific about different things that need to change. We got to let faith rise up in our hearts, and we got to really believe in our hearts that things can be different with God's help. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 gives us this great promise. Now to him who is able, this is speaking about God, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Interesting, the Greek wording here where it says God is able to do immeasurably more. There's a Greek word that's used there. It's the word hyper. We get our English word hyper from, which means to be beyond or above, to excel, to go past. That word hyper is used twice there. It's used, first of all, as a prefix for the word immeasurably, and then it's used as a standalone and translated as more. In other words, if you were to just say this the way it is in the Greek, it would say something like God is able to do more, or God is able to do above. God is able to go beyond. In other words, whatever you're thinking, God can do more than that. Amen? Whatever you're thinking, God, not only can God do more, God can do much more. God can do much more than what you're thinking right now. Much more. Think about, there's so many Bible examples, but I was thinking about Abraham and Sarah. God comes to Abraham when he's 75 years old. They've never had children. God comes to Abraham when he's 75 and says, you're going to be a daddy. 75! No kids yet. You're going to be a papa. And the thing is, Abraham took God at his word. And God blessed him, but it didn't happen right away, right? Year went by, no baby. Another year went by, no baby. Another year went by, no baby. Another year. And how many of you know with each passing year, the chances aren't getting any better? Right? I mean, and this goes on and on. Actually, 25 years. God gave the promise when Abraham was 75. The promise is fulfilled when Abraham's 100 years old. This is God doing what nobody could imagine, right? No one could imagine that. I also think about the children of Israel as they're backed up to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian armies are breathing down their neck. They're trapped. They're hemmed in. There's no way out. Naturally, there's no way out physically. They're stuck. They are hemmed in. No way out, and no way any one of them could have imagined what God was about to do. That God was literally about to just divide the whole Red Sea. Just divide the Red Sea so they could go across. Okay? So here's the deal. I want you to know God loves you. He cares about you today. And there are probably things in your life you think are never going to change. There are probably things in your life you think it's always going to be this way. I've always been this way. I've given up. I want you to know God can do way more than what you're thinking. Way more than what you're thinking. And my prayer is that in these next few weeks, like the ceiling is just going to get lifted. The ceiling where we think, well, God will do this much and no more. The ceiling's just going to get blown off, and we're going to recognize that there is absolutely nothing God can't do. There is nothing God can't do. Maybe you're here this morning, and as a married couple, you kind of feel like, well, our marriage is just kind of so-so, and we're just kind of getting by, and that's just going to be the way it is. We'll stay married, but, you know, we're just going to have a bad marriage until we die. Listen, you got to stop thinking that way. God can give you a beautiful marriage. God can give you a wonderful marriage. Maybe you're thinking, man, I've had this habit in my life, and I'm addicted to porn, and my dad was addicted to porn, and I started looking at porn when I was 12, and I'm probably, oh, there's just probably no way I'll ever get past this. I want you to know God can set your mind and your heart free. He can. He can break every single chain. Notice that what this verse says, it says God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work, where? Within us. His power that's at work within us. So in other words, some of what God wants to do that seems impossible is stuff inside of you. It's stuff in your heart. It's stuff in your mind. God can do way more in your life than you can imagine. Maybe you're, right now as a Christian, you're just thinking all the time, man, I'm just so intimidated. I can never talk to people about Jesus. I'm just so afraid to talk about Jesus. I just never bring it up. I'm just afraid of what's going to happen. And I wish I was more bold for the Lord. Listen, God can blow the ceiling off that, and God can make you a courageous believer that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ when you have the opportunity. Amen? Or maybe you think, you know, man, I've always been poor. I'm not good with money. We're probably always going to be poor. Listen, get that out of your mind. God can set you free from that load of debt in your life. God can set you free from that, and he can help you with your finances. He can help you win and be victorious in every single area of your life. Look at what Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. These are the words of Jesus. And Jesus is basically given a description to his mission here. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. Let me read it to you. We don't have it on the screen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus said this at the synagogue one day. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. Amen? The oppressed will be set free. Maybe you're a person that all your life you've just kind of struggled with depression. And maybe your mom struggled with depression. You've struggled with depression. And right now you're thinking, I'm just always, depression is just part of my life. Listen, I want you to know God can set you free from that, and he can give you his joy. Amen? He can give you his joy, his overcoming joy. That hurt that you thought you'd never get past, totally doable for God. That person you thought you could never forgive, oh yeah, with God's help, you can forgive completely. That guilt and shame that you've carried around for so long, God can lift that from you. Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. That secret sin you thought you could never defeat, with God's help, you can win. That thing you thought was impossible, listen, nothing is impossible for God. I want everybody to say this with me, God is able. God is able. Come on, once more with conviction. God is able. There's nothing that's impossible for God in your life. I'll never forget the first time that I met Joe Welch. I was pastoring a church over in Lincoln City, Oregon, on the coast. And Joe stood about 6'3", weighed about 300 pounds, had a notorious reputation in our town for being a drunkard and a fighter. I mean, the guy was just a barroom brawler. And everybody in town knew who he was. The first time I ever met Joe was in a softball game. I was playing for Les Schwab Tires, and Joe was playing for the local tavern. And the first time I met Joe is when he was playing first base. I got a hit, wind up on first base. I'm standing there next to Joe, looking up at Joe, and I'm thinking, don't hurt me. And Joe doesn't even look at me. He just says, not bad for a preacher. That was my introduction to Joe. And so throughout that season, I just kind of made it a point to make it to first base every game and to get to talk with Joe. And so over by the end of the season, you know, I won't say that Joe had really warmed up to me, but at least he kind of knew me a little bit and could have a conversation with me. And then one day, after about 2 years of this, one day Joe calls me up out of the blue, and I could tell he was shaken about something in his life. And he said, Pastor Tim, he says, I need to talk. He says, can you meet with me? And I said, sure, Joe. And so I made arrangements to meet him at my office, went down to the church. And when Joe comes in, he comes in with just, I could just tell he was just shaken to his core in his life and so broken. And he sat down in my office and he said, Tim, he says, I've just ruined my life. My life is such a mess. I've destroyed relationships, and I know something's got to change, and I don't know where to turn. So I thought of you. And so I was able to just sit there for a while, listen to Joe, listen to his heart, and then just share with him my own testimony and share with him about what I knew God could do in his life. So I shared with the gospel with him and then had the privilege of praying with him right there in my office to receive Christ into his life. And Joe's one of those guys, and when he gave his life to Jesus, I mean, everything turned around. The drinking quit, the fighting stopped immediately. I mean, God just came in and just turned this man upside down, just changed his life. Joe immediately got involved in all things in the church choir. Now, Joe stood out in the church choir. And the funny thing is, people from all over the area were visiting our church just to see. They could not believe Joe Welch was singing in the church choir. So they would come and they would hear his story. They'd hear his testimony about what God had done in his life. And today, almost 30 years later, Joe is still serving Jesus with all of his heart. He leads a prayer ministry over near Lincoln City. And he's just in love with the Lord and on fire for Jesus. And so I know, because Joe's story is not the only story like that. I know, I've seen it. I know exactly what God can do in someone's life when they'll trust him. Amen? So you might be thinking, well, this could never change. God could never do that. No, 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 no. God can. He can. He is able. Everybody, once again, God is able. He's able. But here's the deal. There's no doubt that God is able. But if you want God to help you, I'm just telling you, I know this. If you want God to help you, you got to be all in. You can't do this thing half-heartedly. It just will not work. You got to be all in. In other words, you can't tell God, God, I need your help to forgive this person, but then in your heart, you're deciding, I'm going to hold on to just a little bit of bitterness here. I'm just not going to let that bitterness go. Not going to work that way, guys. Not going to work. Or you think, well, I want to be set free from porn, but you know, I want to look at it once in a while. Not going to work. If you want the addiction of alcohol broken in your life, that means you got to decide, I'm not going to drink anymore. Are you hearing me? It's kind of like getting married. I mean, nobody has to get married. But once you get married, you got to stop acting like you're single. Right? Once you get married, you got to stop living like a single person. It's just not going to work. And if you want Jesus Christ to set you free, I'm telling you, he can do it. He can deliver us from anything, but we have to decide that we're all in with Jesus Christ, and that's okay because he's all in on you. Man, Jesus didn't hold a single thing back when he went to that cross. He was all in. If you want God to really work in your life, you can't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world and say, God, I kind of want your help. That's not going to work. You got to be all in and say, God, I'm all in. I give my life to you. I give it all to you. And then, guys, wow, I'll say it again. There is nothing that God cannot do. Nothing. Nothing. And so my prayer is, as we start this series, and we really start getting to the heart of the series next week, my prayer this morning was to just ignite faith. Ignite faith in your heart that you would this morning just start believing, okay, with God's help, this can change. Doesn't have to be this way. Doesn't have to be this way forever. God can change this because there's nothing that God cannot do. How many of you this morning, if I asked you, you could put your finger on something in your life that you know needs to change. Something you want to see changed in your life. Maybe it's something that's plagued you for a long time. But if I were to ask you and you were to be totally open and honest, you would be able to say, Tim, I know I want this to change in my life. Because I'm going to agree with you this morning that God is going to do that very thing. He's going to break that chain. He's going to break that old habit. He's going to blow the lid off. He's going to open up your thinking to what he can do in your life. How many of you this morning, you have one thing that you could easily name? At least one, okay? Because I want to pray with you right now.